for listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is August 21st, 2017. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This Joe here, really happy to be presenting the show to you today. A lot to do over, a lot of great stuff going on in the wet shaving world as well, and a lot coming up. So guys, I just want to let you know what's going on in the show. We're going to be talking about Gillette. We're going to do part two of the Gillette. We're going to start talking about the one-piece razors, the twist-to-open design as well. And we're going to talk about a little bit of collecting Gillette razors, what to look for the newbie if you just started out, and what kind of razors are really good to start with, and what kind of razors are really collectible. So we'll talk about that as well. We talked about the top five last week of hard-to-find razors and collectible razors. Now we're going to talk about just collecting razors in general and what to look for and all that good stuff. We have a brand new giveaway. That's right, a brand new giveaway from a new vendor. Been trying their products all week, and I got a bunch of sample packs to give out. Really good quality stuff. Remember, guys, before I do, I just want to let you guys know that when I do a giveaway, I make sure I try all the stuff too, make sure it's good quality and that I stand behind it before I give it away. So I would never send you anything that wasn't good. So I just wanted to, I keep forgetting to say that. I forgot about that last week. So definitely, it's got my approval. So hopefully it's got yours too. But yeah, so we'll have a new giveaway. They're going to have a couple of winners this week, not just one, a couple. And we'll talk about that. So listen for the question and then email me when you hear it for the answer. We're going to talk about what's coming up in the future, which we have a lot of really cool stuff coming up. There's a big show coming up for us in October, so we're going to talk about that as well. And, well, you know, it's been a really crazy week for me. Crazy 2 weeks, really. I've had a lot going on at work, big changes, transfers and stuff like that. In addition to that, I have been studying for a test for work as well, which I'll be taking actually next Monday and Tuesday. So I'm really looking forward to that because it's my last test of the year to take for anything. So the rest of the year, I get to concentrate on podcasting, which is my real one thing I do like to do, writing and reading and just getting back into the swing of a regular life. I've been studying for like almost over a year now for several tests, and I'm almost done. So I'm really happy about that and getting through the last stage of the journey on that there. So I'm really excited. That's why I'm sorry to share that with you guys. It's just, well, you know, I talk to you every other week, so it's kind of like we're in the same room together almost, right? So as usual, I'm rambling, so I'll move on and let's get on with the show. Okay, guys, what's going to happen in the wet shaving world? Well, there's a lot happening in the wet shaving world. It's been a little quiet out there because all of the vendors and all the artisans, I guarantee you, are preparing for fall. What they're doing is they're getting their fall seasonal items ready, and they're going to be introducing them one by one, I'm pretty sure, in the next few weeks. So what we're going to do is, guys, the fall special will air on October 2nd. I felt that was a good time. It really starts the fall season. It really starts in September, but yeah, you know what? It's wet shaving. Let's wait until it's really fall. October is fall to me. And you'll have plenty of time to get your seasonal items before Halloween and have a great time and you'll be able to use them and everything like that. Plus, we're giving the vendors a chance to get their products out. So if you wanted to, if you have a question or if you have an item, if you're an artisan or a vendor and you have items that are coming out and you want to let me know about them to feature them on the show, let me know. My database has about 80 vendors on it, so I'll be checking through all of them. But again, you know what? Sometimes I miss things too, so please send me any, if you're a vendor, please, please, please let me know what you're doing for a seasonal scent. Also, vendors and artisans, if you'd like me to do a giveaway and want to give away a set of a fall seasonal product or anything you would like, let me know too, because I send it on over and I will give it away on the show and do a sponsorship episode with you. So, the giveaways have been really positive, guys. I mean, I've been getting a lot of really good feedback. I've been sending out a lot of stuff too, so I'm really happy about that. And it's a good way to give back to you guys. You know, you guys spend half hour, 30 minutes with me. Half hour is 30 minutes. Well, you guys spend a good amount of time with me during every other week. So hey, let me give you something back so you could just have fun with it. So definitely, vendors, if you have any fall items you'd like to donate, we will definitely give it away. And guys, remember to listen for that fall seasonal special, because that's when I'm going to do the giveaways. It will be on the October 2nd, okay? So remember, keep that date in your calendars, October 2nd, fall seasonal special, all your fall wet shaving needs. All right, guys, so I'm going to move on to the discussion. And, you know, I know last week, we talked about Gillette and we got into it a little bit. And I kind of like, you know, went off track a little, and that's what I do. And I apologize for that. But we're going to talk about some one-piece twist open razors, right? So Gillette had, you know, we talked about the double ring, the single ring, all those other razors, right? The Tex and all that stuff that were non-adjustable, non-twist open. Basically the first 35, 36 years of Gillette's existence was razors like that, right? And every model they came out with was a little bit better than the other one. Well, controversially, you know, that's something that, you know, some people say, oh, I thought this one was better. But they worked to get them to be more efficient, better shave, and cheaper to produce, I'm sure. So when Gillette came out with the one-piece razor, this was the first model was actually the Aristocrat, right? Which came out in 1934 for Christmas. Now, again, why do they just Gillette always come out with razors on Christmas? So the fourth quarter is always a time when Gillette introduced their new items. Why? Because, well, people spent their money then. It was for Christmas gifts and stuff. And we got to remember that the times that we're talking about here. Back in, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, it wasn't like we didn't have Amazon. There was no there was no eBay. There was no online purchasing. Basically, you bought it out of a catalog, right? The Sears catalog, and had it mailed to your house, or you would actually physically go to the store and purchase it. So stores had more inventory, of course, of things and different items. And if they didn't have what you were looking for, you couldn't get it unless you actually went to either that country or something like that. So that's why, you know, what the internet has done for us wet shavers has actually brought us together, if you think about it. Because if you think about it, if there was no internet right now, 90% of the products that I have, I wouldn't have. And 90% of the, the collectibles that I have, I wouldn't have. Because sometimes you get it from other countries and stuff like that. You don't know. Example, razors built in Germany and in England that never even made it to USA. How would I ever get one? How would we ever get one unless we were there in another country, right? So, I mean, that's what the internet has done that's good. But back then, you had to buy it in the store. So Gillette made a point of introducing most of their new models during the Christmas holiday season because that's when people spent the most money, right? So the Aristocrat was actually introduced in the season of 1934. Totally new design, twist open on the bottom with the butterfly doors, right? Really, really awesome concept. But were they the first ones to come out with that concept? Well, that's another thing because you have the Seagal razor that came out around in the 1930s as well. Now, if you're not familiar with the Seagal razor, it's an American-made razor, twist open design on the bottom that kind of like opened up the top cap and then turned it around straight, flat up, right? So it was vertical, and you put the blade through it, down, and then you would tighten it up, and it would come down in a movement. Used only Seagal blades, so you can't use Gillette blades too. But if you do own one of these Seagal razors, there's a video out there that Douglas Smythe made that you can cut the top, the middle of it out with a cuticle scissor and then place it in and it works just fine. And they're really good razors. I have one. I've done that conversion with the blades and they're really nice razors as well. So Gillette came out with their twist open around the same time. Probably, now did they come out return because they saw the Seagal razor? I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But it was around the same time, similar concept. The new blade is easier to load, and that's what their whole concept was. They wanted to make it easier to load and a cooler razor. Why? Because they want to sell razors, right? Now, when you build a razor, like a safety razor, and you don't change it up every couple of years, what's going to happen? Well, they work well. They're not going to go in the garbage. I mean, people don't throw these things out. Look at them. We still have them now, right? We still have Gillette razors now that we use. So, obviously, they're good quality, right, for the most part. So, they're not going to throw them out. So, the only way to get you to buy a new one is to come out with something totally crazy that would make you buy it. So, that's what they did. So, you had the Aristocrat, right? And they're messing around with that. And they're selling a few of those. And they come out with another razor. And the next razor would be, I believe it's the Sheridan, which is a little bit less. It's like a dollar, the Sheridan. And the Sheridan had the same, similar design, one piece. And it was just like something that to get into the market as well. As in, well, we have this Senator, which is a little bit, not too pricey, but it's a little bit more money. It was about what? I think it was $4, right? We're going to make something cheaper. The Sheridan's going to be a dollar. Cheaper version of it, same design. And they sold a decent amount of them, right? After that, they came out, and that was in 1937, I believe. Yes, 1937. So 1938, of course, Christmas time comes. The senator comes out, and they do a nice car. They do a little bit more. It comes with some blades, right? And it's a little bit more, not too crazy. What was it for? How much did it cost? Well, it was about 70 cents. So they even went a little lower, sold them like crazy, right? They also did, I think, like a gift set with more blades. They did for like a dollar or something or whatever. But yeah, 70 cents for like five blades, or was it 10 blades or something? I don't know. But I mean, that's a really, I mean, from that, so they kept on bringing the price down on it. So they introduced, and they did the same similar concept with the toggle too. Remember, it was 10 bucks. Then they brought it down to a dollar, right? $1.95 for the Fat Boy, which was called the Gillette 195. So you had the senator, you had a couple razors, you had the aristocrat, right? We have the aristocrat, the Sheridan, the senator. Then you had a couple suits. The Ranger Tech came out. Or, no, sorry, the Region Tech came out, right? Region Tech was what, around dollar something, $2. The Ranger Tech then came out, which came out with a solid guard bar, which is a little bit different, right? And so the Region had the comb, the Ranger had the solid bar, and then after that you had a few years go by, and the Super Speed started coming out in 1948. Yeah, not 1947. It was a Super Speed. So you had about 10 years of these razors. The Super Speeds came out, which had no they didn't have any notches to the guards, so they can go quicker, smoother. To me, these are really good razors. I like the Super Speeds. You had several versions of them, which was like the regular one. Then you had the heavy Super Speed, which were, if you look at them, you had they're just the different designs, which were for heavy beard and for lighter beard. And during this time, we also had the Milord Tech, which was offered. I'm sorry, I'm just reading this real quick. I have my book here, and sometimes I miss a few things. But you had a couple other razors. The Executive came out during this time. And there's so many razors, I'm not going to get into all of them. And so with the Super Speeds, they're really cool. You also had like those Blue Tips and Red Tips come out. They came out a little bit later on. But those are, the Blue Tip is one of my favorite razors, believe it or not. It's very mild and nice, and I like the bounce. So again, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. So Gillette came out with these razors, and they just kept on improving on the design. Now, how long did Gillette do this twist-open design? Well, they did it from 19, basically like we said before, it was 1934 until 1988, when their last adjustable razor from here went off the line. So, I mean, they sold twist-open razors until that long. It was over 50 years. So really, really cool. Definitely some razors to get into. And again, like I said, I ramble a little bit because I'm reading my little book here, and I read this beforehand. But I always think of different things in my head when I start talking. So I mean, cool items to get into. So it wasn't until about the mid 1950s when Gillette started coming out with the actual adjustable razors, right? And when the adjustable razors came out, that was a whole different world. Now, why did Gillette come out with the adjustable razor? Did somebody else come out with the concept first? Well, they did, or they might have. So you have the Apollo Micron. If you've ever heard of that, that's a razor that was made in the late 1940s to 1950s. It's really, I've done a lot of research on this razor, which is not really not much because there's not much out there on it. But it is adjustable razor, right? It was made in Germany. And it's called the Apollo Micron Adjustable, right? And it was very similar to the actual Fat Boy design. It wasn't twist to open, but it was adjustable on the bottom knob, but it was all the way in the bottom, right? And it was one of the first adjustable razors that came out that we know of. Now, it's unknown what year it actually did come out. Did it come out before Gillette? But I'll be honest, with Gillette's reputation, I have a feeling it probably did. So this is one razor that I thought was really cool. I don't own one of them. This is one that I'll have to own. And they go for a lot online, especially if you find mint ones. They're getting really popular. But someday if I do get to own one, I will definitely hold on to it forever. And there, you can actually take these razors apart and clean them and adjust them and stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about it. So they're not like sealed in concrete like the other, like some of the Gillette razors when you have to send them out to get them fixed. So that's really cool with the adjustable razors. And the adjustable design really went from... It actually went from like the toggle and the bottom dial, which came out as, you know, concepts, and the Fat Boy, which was really the first mainstream, which was also the Gillette 195. That's what the real name of it was. It was really the first mainstream razor that they sold, you know, millions of them, right? And then he went to the Slim, and he had a couple other different ones as well. You know, the Super, the Black Beauties, and all those other good razors that came out up until, you know, 1988. So that design was awesome as well. That was about 30 years that they kept the adjustable design. And it gave you the option of just, you know, you guys know, a lot of you listening already understand about Gillette razors. But, I mean, that's what was one of my favorite parts of Gillette, was how they just innovated all this new stuff. And they came out with a new razor. And the marketing concept of Gillette is really, really... it's really, really smart. They did a great job. I mean, marketing it for the fourth quarter is awesome. I mean, that's the way that when people spend their money. And back then, and like now, would they do it now like that? I don't know. I really don't know if companies really market their stuff as heavily as they did back then in the Christmas season. Because really, you're talking about people going into a store and finding it, you know? And just look, walking around and finding these razors and buying them for gifts. Because they saw it in the store, not because they saw it online. I mean, those days are over, right? So the adjustables, like you said, the adjustable was just a really... It started out around 1956 and lasted until 1988 when the last of the Black Beauties and stuff left. Those are the ones with the plastic caps in the middle, and they kind of got a little cheap. I actually have one, not from 1988. I believe I have one from 1980-something, and they're still good quality. I mean, still a very nice razor. But you could definitely tell they were cheaping it up a little bit, and they were just on the end of using their more of their cartridge razors. So, guys, that's all we're going to have for Gillette this week. Now, next week, we're going to talk about Gillette cartridge razors, how that came through, the first ones. You know, you'll see that Gillette came with first with like the real razor, right? And then they went and moved on to, you know, your Mach 3s and all that stuff. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. So I'm actually extending the show for one more episode. Instead of just doing it for 1 month, we'll do it again. So that'll be episode 3, the Gillette, the more of the modern era. All right. So guys, moving right along with the podcast this week, let's talk about collecting Gillette razors, okay? What to look for, what not look for in popular models. So guys, when you're starting to collect a Gillette razor, what do you do? How do you know? There's lots of them on eBay. There's lots of them in antique stores. Where do you look? Okay, guys, so I'm going to be honest. Check out the antique stores in your area. If you're in an area where there's many guys that are collectors, right, you're probably not going to do too well. I'm going to be honest, right? If you have a bunch of wet shaving friends that are in the same area, these guys clean the place out. Example, if you're anywhere near Phoenix, Arizona, don't even waste your time, okay? Because you have Razor Emporium, you have a bunch of guys over there that are going to hit them all up. And again, I'm just kidding. You can go waste your time. I'm sure there's still some places they haven't hit up. But I'm sure they've gone to many of those places, right? And I'm sure they've had a great time. And they are big collectors. And they really, I don't know. If it was me, I'd be a little bit intimidated living in that area. And I'm just kidding around. And, you know, good for whoever finds whatever they can in an antique store. But yeah, I wouldn't. And also, if you live in the Lake Worth to West Palm Beach area, that's I probably wouldn't go there either. Mainly because, well, I've hit up many of the places, and I've got a lot of friends here too. And I don't think I've seen anything here in years. But yeah, so you're gonna antique stores are tough. I'm gonna be honest, they're tough. It's a hit or a miss. Sometimes you go and you'll hit the mother load. But you know what you do when you go to an antique store? Give them a good couple guys used to give them cards or let them give them their phone number and stuff. If you find any shaving stuff, to give you a call. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for a quick sale. So antique stores do want to sell their stuff quickly. So definitely go and give them your card or give them your name and number and just hand them out and say, hey guys, here's a business card or here's a index card of my information. Please call me if you get something in. And they'll call you right away because they want to sell those. They want to turn it over. They don't want stuff sitting in there for 100 years. So they'll definitely turn it over. All right, so antique stores are a little bit rough. When you go to an antique store, make sure that you look for a razor that's got no rust, right, that can open, that's fully functional. If it's a twist open, it opens. If it doesn't have a blade, like, glued into it. I mean, all this stuff can be fixed, but if it's got any rust on it, which I haven't really experienced too much of that, it's basically you're going to have to send it out and get it replaced. So, I mean, it's not worth it, especially unless the price is, like, nothing, right? What not to look for? Don't look for razors that aren't in cases or anything like that. That doesn't mean that they're not valuable. So if the razor is not in a case, it doesn't mean that's not a good razor. You can use it. You can still collect them. The cases usually got thrown out. If you do find a case, you know, definitely take a look at the razor and try to get it. not to look forward, make sure. So we talked about rust. We talked about damage. If the Razor doesn't work, remember, there are places that will fix it. You have companies like Razor Emporium that will take the Razor, they will refab it for you and send it back. But you know, that can be costly at times, right? It can be expensive, and it's going to take maybe about a week or two to get it back. So just decide what you want to do. So make sure you don't get anything broken, because you never know. Sometimes they may not be able to fix them. You know, these things are, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old, and they don't make parts for them anymore. They have to find spare parts and stuff like that. So just check on that as well. Popular models, guys. If you're going to start collecting Gillettes and you want to start by shaveability, definitely get a Super Speed. I think those razors are awesome. The blue tips are really good, and also the red tips are a little bit more aggressive, but a blue tip razor is really nice. You can get one for about $40 online anywhere. You might be able to find some cheaper ones less than that. Also, if you see them, any real Gillette Super Speeds are really good razors. I think they're great to start out with. They're not adjustable, but you know what? They still give you a great shave, and they're really, really easy to learn. Other than that, also I would look for anything Gillette adjustable that works. And also like a Gillette Tech, which is the three-piece razor. Gillette Techs are good, something like that. They're good shavers. Something with more, maybe probably with like a solid guard bar, I would definitely go with instead of like bearded guard or something like that. I think those are a little bit better, to be honest. So just to start off with. As for collectability, we talked about the collectible ones last week. So those razors, if you do find one of them in the wild, definitely pick one up, because they're going to be hard to find. In addition to that, there are hundreds of other Gillette razors that you can use every day. And when you get one, just remember to sanitize it, clean it. A lot of guys like to boil them in water, ultrasonic cleaners and stuff. But what I do is I do the hot water and I boil it in the water, but I use dish soap and just wash it with a toothbrush, scrub the inside, dump it in the inside of the mag. If it's a twist open, dump some in there in the middle, clean it out, and then take like a little bit of mineral oil to drop just a couple drops in there just to get the pieces moving around, because sometimes they get gunk and years and years of lather that's stuck in there, and you want to kind of flush that stuff out and make it work like $1 million again. So that's about it for collecting Gillette razors. They're really fun to collect. There's hundreds and hundreds of them out there on eBay and in the wild. And just, you know, also the first place to also ask a relative. If you have your grandparents or an aunt and uncle or anybody or a friend or a neighbor, just ask them, hey, do you have a Gillette razor? I mean, they're not going to be, they may have it. They might say, yeah, I have a whole box of them. I've had them for my whole life. I never use them. Here you go. They're just sitting there. Because, you know, with one thing I noticed about shaving stuff is people tend to hold on to it even if they don't use it. Like my first Gillette razor was my grandfather's, and I don't think he used it for like 30 years. So it was just sitting in his drawer, and he just, you know, when he passed away, I found it through his stuff, but it was just sitting there for years, and he never used it. So, I mean, that's just kind of how you probably find a lot of the Gillette razors as well. So just ask any relatives or anything like that. Okay, guys, and I'm getting a little bit off track again. Sorry. It's something that I tend to do, and I'm trying to work on that, but until then, I'll talk about this instead. Our giveaway is sponsored by the Sudsy Soapery, right? So the team at Sudsy Soapery, they were very generous in donating some of their awesome aftershaves to help promote the podcast. So, I'm sorry, they have aftershaves and soaps. Sorry, I have more soap samples than aftershaves, right? So they gave me a bunch of soap. I have them right in front of me. Soap samples, a couple aftershave samples. And I used one of them this week, and I'm really impressed with it. Now, the soaps are really kind of, they're a little softer, like a crope, which is like between a cream and a soap. But I was a little skeptical at first, but when I started to lather it up and get on my face, it really lathered nicely. They have some really cool scents. I have 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 scents here, different scents of their soaps that I'm going to give out. I'm going to do two this week, two winners. So how do you win? What would you win? So all you have to do is do this, guys. Answer this question, send it to me. What was Gillette's first twist open razor? Send the answer to joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. That's it. That's all you have to do. Send me the answer to the question, and you'll be automatically put in the drawing for a couple of these soap samples, and I'll send them to you directly to you. And you get to try them out for yourself. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Sudsy Soapery. A really cool name. Say that 5 times fast. For donating these samples for the podcast. Quality's really spot on. Really good stuff. And different scents, too. I mean, there's some really nice scents in here as well that I was really impressed with. So, I mean, Great company. And I'm really, really thankful that they were able to donate some stuff for the cast. And I will send out some soap samples this week. So remember the question. Answer the question in my email, and you are automatically put in the drawing. All right, guys. Well, that's it for the podcast this week. We're going to talk about... next week, we will be talking about part three of Gillette. We're going to get more into the more modern-day razors and how the cartridge razor actually came about. We're also going to talk about... we're going to talk about some more fall stuff, and we're going to talk about a little surprise as well. I got a little something that I've been working on that I'm going to share with you guys as well on the next podcast. So that I'm going to keep a secret. We're going to have one more giveaway from the Sudsy Soapery, right? We're going to have some more giveaways for that, another really cool trivia question. And we're just really having a great time. So, guys, remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for all the work that he does in the wet shaving world, and for the team at the Sudsy Soapery for donating their generous donation in our podcast this week, and most of all, you guys, the listeners, because without you, there would be no podcast. That's right. Don't forget to check out my blog site, ShaveStraightAndSafe.com, for tips and interesting wet shaving stories, and please feel free to contact me at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com with any questions. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel for videos regarding some interesting wet shaving content. And if you're interested in sponsoring an episode, please contact me, as we would like to feature your products and stuff on the show, and we love to do giveaways as well. So, guys, until next, our next show will be on the 4th of September. That's right, the 4th of September. And until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Can't wait to see you till then, and have a great couple of weeks.